Ever been that close? You know, you found the perfect thing online, you're about to click place order,
Yeah.
hovering, and then the checkout just stops you. Like, maybe it's a crazy long form.
Or surprise fees suddenly appear right at the end. It happens all the time.
You are definitely not alone there.
And that exact that frustration point, that's what
Yeah.
we're really diving into today.
We are.
We've got this fantastic guide, actually. It's called Making the Sale, Optimizing Your Checkout Flows.
Exactly. So forget just browsing. We're going deep, digging into this guide to pull out the really actionable stuff, the things that can actually transform that final click. So whether you're, running an online store and tearing your hair out over abandoned carts,
Which happens.
or maybe you're just like fascinated by how a good online purchase experience works. Well, we're going to unpack what really makes a difference here.
And what's so great about this Making the Sale guide is its focus. It's aimed right at online retailers, highlighting that, look, all the effort you put into getting customers to your site, it can just evaporate if the checkout is, wow, clunky,
Totally undone.
poorly thought out. It's like the last mile of a race, isn't it? Often the most critical.
Okay, so let's jump right in. Why obsess over these final few clicks? I mean, the guide starts off talking about the big one, cart abandonment.
Yeah, the elephant in the digital room. And what's genuinely staggering, really, is just the sheer percentage of sales lost right there.
It's huge, isn't it?
Think about it. These are people who've already picked your product, put it in the basket. They're basically shouting, "Yes, I want this."
They're ready.
But then something in that process, it just throws them off. It's like a leaky bucket, you know?
Good analogy.
You've done all the hard work filling it, but it's draining away right at the very end.
Right. It's that absolute peak moment of interest, and poof, it can just vanish. The guide really hits on that frustration factor. You've got someone ready to hand over money.
And bam, digital roadblock.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And that's where the guide shifts gears, offering some really practical strategies, ways to smooth out that road. And the first big area it tackles is streamlining the whole process, making it simpler.
Okay, let's unpack that one. Minimizing steps. What does that actually look like? And I mean, why does it matter so much?
Well, imagine clicking through, say, four or five different pages just to put in your shipping, your billing, your payment.
Oh, I've been there. It's painful.
Each page load, each new set of fields you have to tackle, it's just another chance for you to lose focus or, frankly, get impatient. So the guide points to the power of like a well-designed one-page checkout. Everything essential right there.
All in one spot.
But look, even if you do have multiple steps, clearly showing how many there are, you know, like a progress bar.
Oh, yes. Step one of three, that sort of thing.
Exactly. That can really cut down on the anxiety. Fewer clicks, less friction. It almost always means higher completion rates. It's a pretty direct link.
That makes total sense. Just removing those little hurdles right when people are about to finish. Okay, another big one the guide mentions, offering a guest checkout option. Now, I get why businesses want us to create accounts, but why is that guest option so crucial?
This really comes down to lowering the barrier to entry, especially for first-time buyers, right? Being forced to create another account, think up another password, fill out even more details. It can feel like a significant hurdle for someone who just wants to buy that one thing quickly.
Yeah, it's friction again.
Totally. So the guide smartly suggests offer the guest checkout, get the sale first, then maybe offer the option to create an account after the purchase.
Post-purchase.
Yeah, once they've already had a good experience, it's a much softer sell that way.
That's clever. Prioritize the transaction, then maybe build the relationship. Okay, the guy also talks a lot about clear and concise forms. Seems obvious, but wow, some forms are just baffling.
Oh, definitely. And what's fascinating here is how even like subtle design choices can make a huge difference to conversions.
Right.
The guide really emphasizes asking only for what's truly essential. Like, do you really need their company name if it's clearly a personal buy?
Good point. Cut the clutter.
And breaking down longer forms into, say, logical chunks with clear headings makes them feel way less daunting.
Easier to digest.
And simple things. Clearly labeling each field, maybe providing helpful placeholder text that prevents errors, speeds things up.
And autofill. The guys mentions that too.
Oh, absolutely. Huge time saver, especially on mobile, you know, where typing everything out is just a pain.
Definitely. Okay, so we're making things easier. But what about making people feel, well, safe, giving you their credit card details? The guide talks about building trust.
Yeah, and this is completely non-negotiable. When people are sharing sensitive financial info, they absolutely need reassurance. They need to know your site is legit, it's secure.
How do you show that?
Well, prominently displaying those security badges and trust seals, you know, those little
Like
logos.
the padlock symbol or the Visa, MasterCard logos, things like that.
Exactly. Or logos from recognized security companies like Norton or McAfee. Seeing those acts is a really important visual cue. It says, "We've taken steps to protect your data." It's like a digital handshake reassurance.
Yeah, okay. I definitely look for those things myself. And equally important, according to the guide, is being totally upfront with the price. No nasty surprise.
Oh, this is a big one. Unexpected costs, like suddenly seeing shipping fees or taxes appear only on the very final payment page. That's a major reason people abandon
This
carts.
feels sneaky.
It does. So the guide strongly advises show all the costs clearly right from the start, ideally, you know, on the product page itself or very early in the checkout flow.
Bob's Trusk avoids that feeling of being, yeah, blindsided.
Exactly. And still on the trust theme, offering a variety of payment options.
Right. It's amazing how many ways people prefer to pay now.
It really is. And the key here is just accommodating those preferences. Some people live by their credit cards. Others love the ease of PayPal or Apple Pay or Google Pay.
Yeah.
And in some parts of the world, specific local payment methods are absolutely crucial.
So you need to offer choice.
You do, because if their preferred method isn't there, they might just leave, go somewhere else. It's another potential barrier removed.
Okay, so streamlined process, built trust. Now let's look at just making the whole experience, more user-friendly. Mobile optimization comes up first in the guide here. And yeah, with so much shopping on phones now.
Oh, it's absolutely critical. Make or break, really.
Yeah.
The guide points out that a huge chunk of online shopping happens on mobile devices now. So if your checkout isn't fully responsive,
Meaning it adjusts to the screen size.
exactly.
Yeah.
If it doesn't adapt seamlessly to different phones, tablets, whatever, and if it isn't easy to navigate with, you know, your thumbs,
Tapping tiny buttons, zooming in.
right, you're just alienating a massive group of potential buyers. Trying to tap fiddly little buttons or read tiny text on a small screen, it's incredibly frustrating. A surefire way to lose that sale.
Oh, it's the absolute worst experience. Okay, the guide also mentions something that seems small but isn't. Clear error messaging. I know I've been stuck before with just a vague red warning saying error,
Yeah.
and you've no idea what's wrong.
This is where thoughtful design really makes a difference. Instead of just a generic something went wrong,
Which tells you nothing.
right. Helpful specific error messages actually guide the customer. They tell you what to fix quickly.
Yeah.
So instead of just invalid entry, it should say maybe please enter a valid email address or your postcode needs 5 digits.
Ah, okay. Specific instructions.
It prevents that frustration, keeps them moving forward instead of just guessing or giving up.
And another seemingly simple thing, keeping the order summary visible throughout the checkout.
Yeah, absolutely. It acts as a constant reminder, doesn't it? What's in the cart? What's the total cost?
Keeps you grounded.
That transparency, it reduces uncertainty, makes last-minute doubts less likely. It's about keeping the customer informed, feeling like they're in control right up until they hit buy.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And for those checkouts that do have multiple steps, the guide mentions progress indicators again. I always find those quite reassuring,
Yeah,
actually.
me too. It's good to know you're not stuck in some endless loop.
Exactly.
Progress indicators, they just manage expectations. They stop customers feeling like the process is just dragging on and on. A simple visual cue, like we said, step 2 of 4, it makes a surprisingly big difference in how much effort it feels like and encourages people to finish.
Okay, great. So the purchase is complete. Click. But the guide reminds us the job isn't quite done. Post-purchase engagement matters, starting with a really clear confirmation.
Yes, this is such a crucial chance to reinforce a positive feeling. A good order confirmation email gives the customer everything they need.
Like what specifically?
Well, the order number, obviously, a summary of what they bought, the shipping address they entered, and importantly, an estimated delivery date.
Sets expectations.
Exactly. It confirms, yep, we got your order, and tells them what happens next, reduces anxiety.
And also making it easy to get help during checkout if something goes wrong. That seems smart too.
Oh, absolutely. Having clear contact info, maybe a phone number, an email, perhaps even a live chat option readily available right there on the checkout page can be a lifesaver.
If you hit a snag.
Yeah, if a customer hits an issue they just can't figure out themselves, knowing help is just a click or a call away can prevent them from just getting frustrated and leaving.
Good point. So the guide kind of wraps all this up by stressing that optimizing your checkout, it's not like a one-and-done job, is it?
No, not at all. It's an ongoing process, continuous improvement.
How do you do that?
That's a really key takeaway. You need to be regularly looking at your website data, paying close attention to your cart abandonment rates. Where are people dropping off?
Finding the leaks in the bucket.
Precisely. And actively asking for feedback from your customers. Surveys, maybe.
Yeah.
All that lets you identify the pain points in your specific checkout flow and keep refining it, keep making it better. Think of it like an ongoing experiment, really.
So whether you actually run an online shop and you're maybe feeling inspired now to take a hard look at your checkout, or even if you're just an online shopper, like most of us, who's now kind of armed with this knowledge of what makes things smooth or really frustrating,
yeah.
Understanding these elements from the guide, it really shines a light on why some online buys are just a breeze and others feel like, well, like pulling teeth.
And if we just step back for a second, look at the big picture. An optimized checkout flow, it isn't just a minor website tweak. It's a fundamental strategic move.
Really? That important?
Oh, yeah. It directly impacts your conversion rates, how many visitors actually buy. It boosts customer satisfaction, people, like easy experiences. And ultimately, that drives your revenue. It's that crucial final step, turning someone who's interested into someone who's actually bought something.
Makes perfect sense when you put it like that. So, okay, here's something for you listening to maybe chew on.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Think about your most recent online shopping trips. The good ones, the bad ones. Can you maybe pinpoint now what made them feel that way?
Yeah, was it seamless? Or did you hit one of those friction points we talked about?
Like, did something almost make you just abandon that cart? Maybe even take a look at a website you use all the time. How could their checkout process be better based on what we've just discussed for making the sale?
Interesting thought exercise.